Good morning and welcome to Brass Tack Sunday for October 7th, 2018. I'm your host and moderator, Corey Lane, back in the chair and ready to go on the air after a little hiatus away from you. So I'm happy to be back and I hope you're happy to have me back with you. Today's Brass Tack Sunday, we get down to brass tacks, looking at the perspective of the average man and woman, the average Barbadian in today's society. Now, while I was away, I was following the program and I was following up on the programs that I missed. And one of the things that I recognized that Barbados is going through, continues to go through, what I call economic turmoil, what economists have dubbed economic turmoil. And we've taken a turn now to the IMF. That means that things are going to be a little different. Some adjustment here, an adjustment there. Now, while many are happy that after 30 years or more talking about restructuring the Barbados economy or whatever that means, we are finally, or it seems that we are finally taking the bull by the horn. But that does not mean just numbers. That means people, everyday people in Barbados that has to respond to these changes. Now, most of the programs I would have heard the doctors, I would have heard the professors, the economists, you know, the list goes on. But I want to hear from you today. You, the Barbadian, you who have to accept these changes, you who have to go to the pump, who have to face the cashiers, who have to take a haircut here and there. And I'm not talking about in the salon or in the barbershop, but I'm talking about investments that you would have made. You who have to be the day-to-day economist in your home. So I've put together a panel of people that look like you and me. The jury is in the studio, and we are going to be talking to them after this break, and after I remind you that this is Brass Tack Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
For business supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals, we have it all.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals, we have it all. At Williams Metals, we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay, starting from my left, your right, I'm going to let you introduce yourselves and let Barbados know who we are talking about today as we examine the changing face of Barbados economically and socially. So we start with you, madam.
Hi, good morning. My name is Sophia Robinson. Not sure.
Tell us a bit about yourself. Talk about what you do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I am a dentist. I work in a dental office. And so, aside from that, I'm also an optimist. And so I work with that service organization with young people as well.
Excellent. So you can bring the business perspective as a professional, and you can also bring the social perspective as someone working in the community with the service organization.
Indeed.
Superb. And next to you, we have?
You can call me Missy G.
Missy G.
Yes.
It's sounds like a calypso technique.
That's fine. What I do accounts. Mm-hmm. But I work, my passion basically is to work with young people and to deal with the lower echelons of society, basically. And I work a lot with different youth groups and organizations. Mm-hmm. So I feel the heart of people. I know where they're at and what their needs are, mm-hmm, in a nutshell.
Excellent, excellent. And next to you?
Hey, my name is Oliver Holder. Mm-hmm. I'm into IT, a support specialist. Mm-hmm. My main passion now is mostly fitness. Mm-hmm.
Good. I think particularly as the discussion unfolds, one of the things I will be turning to you on is this whole idea of living healthy and is it too expensive or not? I think that is fundamental. When we talk about the basket of goods, when we talk about how poor people live and the staples and so on, I think that is going to be a big part of the adjustment for Barbadians. So is it possible to really eat healthy in this environment? And some people may say yes, some may say no, but I think your perspective is going to be very interesting on this.
Okay.
Good. Next to you, we have.
Hi, Corey. My name is Lorenzo Herewood. I don't know necessarily what my specialty is, but some people call me a development specialist. I tend to focus on things such as NGO development, community development, and also things that focus on the youth and upgrading the community as well. So that is me in a nutshell.
Good. From the community aspect and also the developmental aspect. And our last guest, but not least by any stretch of the imagination. And who are you, madam?
I am Ruth. Mm-hmm. Call me Ruth. Mm-hmm. I work with the Governor of Barbados and the ministry, under the Ministry of Education.
Mm-hmm. Right, so we got the government, we got the private sector, the public sector, the fitness, the development, the CEO, the service clubs. We got Barbadians in the studio, and of course, we will have Barbadians on the line, as you can give us a call at 434-1790, and you can also send us a WhatsApp at 266-4862. If that is still the same WhatsApp number, you can also send us a message there. Remember, send us that WhatsApp at 266-4862. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We go until 1:15 this afternoon. Let me open up the discussion, though. Lorenzo, let's start with you. We were talking just before we started on the program and so on. Where do you think we can go with this discussion, and what can we achieve going forward? What are your thoughts?
Well, in terms of the discussion, Corey, since we have what we could consider the average Bajans here, although I don't really believe in the concept of above average, is that we can not necessarily focus on or focus primarily or solely on the IMF intervention in Barbados. It is going to be a small facet of a larger substantive discussion, but I think we should really focus on ideas that persons generally around the table and in Barbados have that can take Barbados forward, whether the IMF was coming or not. And this is going to be done very genuinely, and not to insult those who may think that they may be the oligarchs or czars in everything political and economics in Barbados, but it's just that we can get a community-oriented view in terms of how we can help develop Barbados. So that is it. Just bring your ideas, let us know what you have, and hopefully a listening ear could hear.
All right, so any other person on the panel, let's get your opening thoughts on this whole idea of Barbados, where we are and where we are going. As they look to each other. So, Ruth, let me put you on the spot. In terms of someone, you live in a household. Do you manage a household?
Yes, I do.
They say that women are the best economists there are. They know how to cut the cloth to suit. How has it been for you? Let's say particularly over the last 10 years, as you've navigated the economic waters of Barbados, how did you cut and contrive? How did you make ends meet? Tell us about the strategy and how that has been.
Well, it has been hard, but in order for you to get things done the way that you normally get them done, obviously, yes, you have to cut here and you have to cut there. I am the sole winner, was the sole winner in my home. So speaking from that point of view, you get to get so accustomed to the way of living that you want to, you were saying, in other words, ain't a problem, but yes, it is a problem because everything is going up. Nothing is coming down. So therefore that means that you have to cut your meals smaller. You cannot afford to go in the supermarket and buy two chickens like if you had to before, mm-hmm. because the costs have gone over $20 for one chicken. Mm-hmm. So by the time that you buy this chicken and then you still have to put other things with it to make it a meal, yes, it is very difficult. So therefore you have to cut off the edges at every end. And then you can't save. How could you save if you're spending most of your money in the supermarket? Mm-hmm. Then you still have the bills in the house to be paid. So it has been difficult.
Now, I want to touch on our word normally, and this whole idea of what is normal for Barbadians. Now, I came up here in Barbados say we have a high cost of living. And the former Minister of Finance, he coined a term that I actually like. He says we have the high cost of, not as high cost of living, but the cost of living high. Do you think that Barbadians have been living too high and there's ways and means that we may not need two chickens, that we may just need a half a chicken? In your home in particular, because you can only speak to your experience, when you bought those two chickens, did you use the whole two chickens? Or did a half a chicken end up in the garbage or to the dogs or something?
I don't keep dogs for sure. So they will have these two chickens will have to be for the household. Mm-hmm. No, we do not throw food. Actually, I can tell you that when I cook on Sundays and there's food in the fridge till Thursday, we are going to eat it. Mm-hmm. They ain't not throwing away enough food. But you gotta remember that once before time we couldn't get a barefoot or a sweet potato from we never. Yep. That is not the case nowadays. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to sell everything that they have. Mm-hmm. So if you got to buy everything that you're going to put on the table, it is going to make it hard. Mm-hmm. Now, we supposed to be a loving people, and you know the country folks always got things in abundance. One time you could go at somebody's house and you leave there with a bag of something to help provide, like potatoes, berry fruit, eddas, yams, those kind of things. Nowadays, you go to somebody, it's just hello, hi, and you're going with your hands empty, and you come back up with your hands empty. So we are not sharing nowadays. Everything is about the mighty dollar.
As the program progresses, I want us to get deeper and deeper into that in terms of how hard is too hard. Is it really that hard?
Corey, can I jump in here?
Sure.
Not that I want to undervalue anything that was just said, but because things are so hard, in inverted commas, as she's saying, people can't afford to give away things anymore. Mm. It could come down to that. So you might think people get selfish, it might not be people get selfish, but you know what? I had two berryfruits, I could have given one once upon a time, but I got to the next berryfruit, no, cut it up and put it in the freezer, because next week I want that same very berryfruit. So when I take it and give what you going to do?
I never saw it like that. I never thought of that. Yeah. Are we becoming more selfish, or things too much?
No, I'm looking at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is, you know, I give that berryfruit today, and then tomorrow I scratch my backside.
Well, let's look at it, a third angle at it, no, Corey, because I heard her position. I heard the other lady's position.
Not
no,
my position, third, not my position, not my position.
Her contribution,
but I am saying what it could be.
Yeah. Right. So I have a different dimension of what it could be as well. So you're asking yourself, why is it that things are so hard for you today than it was maybe, or your ancestors, it was maybe 30 years ago? And another reality is that persons are doing less home farming than before as well. So they don't have the position, they don't have the capacity in terms of the number of breadfruits to give away, the number even shives to give away. And as I traverse across my community, when I was younger, my community felt like one big family plot. Mm-hmm. Although different persons at different houses, they can walk from here and go up the road with Miss Gamble and get something to eat. My aunt Charlotte the road.
It is not a situation.
And we're now subject to what we call development. Mm-hmm. Different people coming in the community, houses getting bigger, more diversity in terms of different persons there. But I think if we get back to some of the basics in terms of backyard farming or home farming that some people talk about, then we could really push things. I would like to at this point mention the BADMC, because I think that they have a key role to play in terms of ensuring that there's still this subsistence level of activity going on as well. I know recently there's been a lot of emphasis on providing for hoteliers and large entities, but I think that is something that the BADMC should look at very intensely as well, because that might very well lead to persons during harsh economic times being able to give a neighbor some extra breadfruits or something as well.
Safia, you think you'll be able to get back to this home farming? Because everybody said, I ain't got green thumb.
Well, here's the thing, right? I think that, you know, in terms of mentioning the BADMC, that may be a good resource for people to use, because I've seen people grow things in half a can. Mm-hmm. I've seen it grow in a big pot. Mm-hmm. So even to say that you don't no longer have a big garden or whatever, you may still be able to utilize the resources around you. You may just not be sure how to do it. Right. So it may be worth, you know, my sister is now trying to put together a garden, so I realize she's kind of like going around trying to get information and stuff like that. It may be worth actually having some more of those resources available so that people can try to use the little bit of space that they have. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, if I grow tomatoes and you grow cucumbers, then I can give you a cucumber, you give me a tomato, and go that way rather than, or vice versa.
So like barter. As it was in the beginning, it shall be in the end.
But that's what I'm saying. So to me, I think you have to get creative. To me, that's the biggest thing in the environment where you're starting to get issues in terms of trying to make the same out of less or more out of less. Sometimes you gotta get creative, and they say that necessity is the mother of invention. So maybe that'll be the way to get creative and try to now produce some things not only for your family, but for maybe your same neighbors.
I think we gotta get active as along with getting creative, because I remember the former prime minister went off and made this thing with getting back to farming, and it became a political issue and it became a joke. People actually laugh at this thing, but I'm thinking that if we actually get up and do. We will be successful. I want to say good morning to the sixth member of the panel at home, Shamar Reese, who is taking notes. And I think we could take that as note one. As we adjust and continue to adjust to the economic time, let's put that home farming and home gardening on the list. So we can document today's programs and suggestions coming out of today's program. And I have been informed that the administration now may be more amenable to receiving information. So I'm thinking that coming out of this panel that we can actually submit these ideas and see where we can get a push. But it must not only be about the bureaucracy and those leaders. You can hear on the program about home farming and go and start home farming. Correct. Do not wait on the BNDMC, the Minister of Agriculture or the Prime Minister to tell you home farming is the way. In your communities, families, friends, get some pots, get some mud, try something, may dry up because you may not have a great time, but try again or try something else.
So then what we can probably do too is probably have some sessions, maybe government or something.
Correct. Now that is where sessions, the bureaucracy and leadership come in.
Some people who have businesses that do farming can probably decide, you know, let me keep a free session to teach people.
Some community sessions. I don't think we should got these centralized sessions.
Yeah, to have some sessions at home to teach people how to do a small garden. Something simple like that.
No, right? I agree. I know, like for AgriFest, people carry home a lot of birds, fish, and plants in 2 weeks a year a day, right? So I think there will be these sessions. Craig, the breadfruit and so on. This year is said to be better than the normal potato and so on. Cutting down from two chickens to one may be better too. I don't know. I'm not the person into fitness and health. But I want your general perspective, and then I want your expert perspective on this whole idea of cutting back, where to cut back, where to go. And those on the lines, please be patient. After Craig, we're coming over to you. So just give us a minute.
Well, I won't say I'm an expert per se, but in terms of eating healthy, chicken, things like as simple as a can of tuna, you could get a whole case of tuna for like $130 or so. Right? And you could separate it as needed and plan your meals throughout the week.
I you know, we pick out of that at early o'clock, bulk buying. Bulk buying, you know, people don't got cash flow sometimes for the bulk buying, right? But I realize in bulk buying, you could save so much, right? I call you crazy, Oliver. I say he was wondering, who is Oliver? Oliver. The whole idea of bulk buying, I think we could put down as a number two, right? In terms of if you do have that cash and you can bulk buy, or even something was thinking about, the unions were supposed to be doing it in terms of like joint buying. So you may not be able to bulk buy because of thing, but families can get together and buy the case of tuna and then share it up among yourself because you save dollars on the can. And all of those dollars add up. I don't know what the panel thinks about that, but I think that could be an idea.
I think it's a great idea. Sometimes churches do that. In the church they will get together and everybody will, they will have a list of what the items are. Everybody will say, oh, I want this, that. You pay up front and then you're able to buy it by the case or the whatever, as opposed to going in and trying to buy one on one.
I didn't know that church doing it, but I have to doing it. Kudos to them. No, that is ministry right there. We can talk over to the telephone lines. We can say good morning to the first caller. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock. Remember, this is Brass Tack Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. You are on the air. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Goodly Corey.
Hey, good morning, sir.
I've been inquiring about you, and I'm glad to have you back. And I hope you're revitalized and hitting the road ready to go as usual.
Almost there, almost there.
Mr. Corey?
Yes, please.
Yeah. My take is slightly different in that I've been proposing this week or from last week a campaign as regarding if the NSRL is off, prices were promised to have been brought down. My emphasis and energy will be expended in the area of having prices brought down. No. Hot on the heels of saying that. We've got the numbers. The people have got the numbers in Barbados. So if the prices do not come down, then the people need to fortify themselves together and do something and make the prices come down by compulsion now then. Bring it down by force. If the retailers aren't going to adhere to the NSRL would be off and they're not still coming to some semblance of bringing down the price. I'm not saying that they're into business for nothing. I know they have the markup and whatever, but it has got to be competitive and reasonable that everybody will still live. The most pressing thing today is people don't understand insolvency and monetary business and that. What they understand about prices, there's a reduction in price, which will bring them along. Mm-hmm. While the grass will be growing, the horse would not starve.
All right, stick a pin. I'm not going to let you go. I want to get the reaction of the panel from this. The whole idea of the NSRL coming down for some time now, and my understanding is that prices, for the most part, have not been reflected. Some have actually gone up. What are your thoughts? Any person want to have a stab at that?
Well, Corey, if I may, I would say the NSRL has adjusted downwards as promised, but it is not necessarily the case traditionally in Barbados, where when prices drop, when the rates, sorry, from the government drop in terms of the taxes, that prices actually drop. But the gentleman made a very interesting comment there, because he said that, you know, the people need to reinforce themselves. So, sir, what I want to floor to you is a concept. Suppose, as the lady to my right had mentioned earlier, suppose we could reinforce ourselves at the community level, and we can get into home farming, and we could put the prices of everything on one platform, so that you don't need to leave home to see really what the prices are at different places. And suppose, in addition to putting the prices of the supermarkets on one digital platform that you can access from your cell phone, you can also see what your neighbor next door has that you can barter as well, thereby reducing the need to actually go to certain supermarkets. Or actually, you don't even have to go and buy anything. You can exchange a couple of tomatoes for a couple of carrots and stuff. Now, this is me not trying to be too myopic or utopian, sorry, in my thinking. But I'm here thinking that this bartering thing might very well be one of the best ideas moving forward in Barbados. Many persons may knock it and think that, you know, this is something that's a bit far-fetched, but it's relatively easy to do. So what we can do, as the gentleman suggested, reinforce ourselves at the community level. Let us engage in an extensive program of home farming, not to throw the small and the big farmers out the market, but to ensure that we can cut down on the transaction costs, and you can even nail out the transaction costs if you're bartering fruits or vegetables for vegetables. And that should send a clear signal to the supermarkets, well, hey, you know what? Let me carry my prices down to a reasonable level so that these people can even consider leaving their houses to come down to me to buy these different types of projects. So I think my key there is just information and getting that information to persons in a reasonable manner. And there's nothing better than the digital platforms nowadays.
I was just reminded that NSRL also was not on the basket of goods. I think it has over 300 items.
Right.
And I think that's our information which should be disseminated in terms of the items that it was on. And I think that they said they were going to use the Fair Trading Commission to kind of monitor. I would like to see that information. Let's get a saying the page spread on that type of information. All right, caller, continue, because we got to move on.
Yeah. I'll close up quickly. I'm sorry, I don't think you're utopian. I think you're real. And Corey knows me well in regard to relentlessness and emphasis on prices. I haven't touched prices for almost nearly 30 years. I've been talking about prices, et cetera. I am saying, don't let us lose sight. We have got the numbers, and that makes the difference. I understand some years ago in Canada, they raised coffee or something by 2 cents, and the people came together and said, we are not going to purchase, I had to bring it back. I am saying emphasis and vigilance must be, and keep this in focus. We have got the numbers. There's got to be a turn in the run of it. You know, by court. Let me close on that. By court, then. If you're not coming, if the monkey don't go to mommy go.
I want to underscore something you said, and thank you, caller. In terms of forming ourselves together in groups, this same caller been advocated. We actually started the process here, and I want to continue in terms of having some genuine consumer groups, in terms of pressure groups, in terms of getting the, because as Barbadians we are known to be not good at that. If that is something, and I would like to monitor it probably from this program too. So I don't know if persons hearing this and can get into farming groups and buying and so on, and can feed back to any of the hosts here how that is going. This person on WhatsApp says, you know, Corey, I'm a single man. I bought a chicken from Massey yesterday. It was under $20. Plus, I go get a breadfruit from regular people. Guys I know are even growing strawberries and potatoes in their yard. Not everything is hard as people may think. People have to pool and shop more. A 50-pound bag of potatoes we buy as a group and share them, and many of us are doing it. Those strawberries, radish, peppers, potatoes are growing in pots. Big up to Martin the Honda Man. let's go back to the lines, and then we take a couple more of these messages. Good morning and welcome, Brass Stacks. Sunday, you're on the air. Good morning and welcome. Brass Stacks, Sunday, you're on the air.
Oui.
Yes, please.
Are you hearing me?
Loud and clear.
Yes, well, now you, good morning to you and the panel. Nice
good
having
morning.
You back.
Morning. Thank you.
Now, Corey, years ago, when the plantations were getting rid of, getting out of sugarcane planting, along came people, persons, what you made, with a lot of money, bought these lots of land, and then came the birth of development estates, gardens, calling what you made. One of the stipulations was that you didn't plant anything other than lawn in the front and concrete in the yard. I don't even think you were allowed to plant pea trees. A couple of years ago, I mentioned this to Dennis Johnson. He was the moderator that day. And he said he remembered coming from the airport, passing along, I think it was Fort George, and he could not understand the aesthetic conditions that prevailed there. And I remember telling him, I thought at the time that when something like that happened, it would have been because of something happened overseas and we couldn't get the usual things that we bring in to eat. And we had gone away from breadfruit, yam, potatoes, and so on and so forth. I did not think it would happen this way. So here we are now. As some person was saying, nobody can even give away breadfruit because you've got to put them in the fridge for tomorrow. That's
right.
It.
A lady did say that. So, all right, thank you very much. I want to take this opportunity to send some quick birthday greetings to Eula Smith Innings of Flat Rock. She's going to be 57 tomorrow. So thank you for locking on. And I want to get the panel's position on this before we go back to the lines again. This writer says, I'm suggesting that the sewage and SSA contribution that are now appearing on the water bills be imposed on in a more equitable manner. It is not fair that the poor single person who live in the Orleans pays $45 monthly as the same person in the upper middle class and owns a business or someone who is rich. The population does not mind helping with the heavy lifting, but it must be appreciated that some people's hands are in fact stronger than others. Let the stronger ones lift more. I believe that would be a more equitable approach. Please review the structure of the imposition of this tax. The same charge cannot be applied across the board. It is not fair. Any reactions?
I would say wholeheartedly, Corey, and I'll let you get there very fast, that I feel passionately about this position. From the outset, I've always said that the way how it was imposed, in my opinion, is not equiproportional. And I feel very passionate about it. I don't want to continue because it is a real touching issue for me, given that the water bill came in last week as well. I'll let the other lady make her contribution. But my opinion is that I think that there needs to be a review at some given time to see if there can be a more equiproportional imposition of it.
Yeah? Corey, I think I should play a devil's advocate here. You know how I like
you
know, to do
you
it,
love
right?
to do it, yes.
In listening to conversations around, because obviously, you know, I traverse both high and low. Good. Middle class is saying, is it fair? Are you putting all the pressure on the middle class? Mm-hmm. Taking all the pressure off the poor? The middle class know in their mind they're poor. Mm-hmm. So then there's no longer a middle class. So you have poor and rich. So in terms of what
Lorenzo
was saying, you know, you're unfairing the middle class people. Mm. Middle class feel if they're being unfaired. Based on the conversations I'm hearing, not me, because I ain't falling into that category.
All right, let's leave that one there, and let's go back to the telephone lines. Good morning and welcome. 11:30, you're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to hear you back.
Thank you very much.
I want to be this good and frank. This is agriculture that we're talking about. Let me tell you frankly. Unless this country decides to do something with the control of the monkeys in this country, you're never going to see agriculture flourish again. You can mark this on this day. The people make sports, and when you hear the Mr. Agriculture talk about the monkeys, but I live in the rural districts of this country, I know it all well. I know plenty of people, I can call dozens of people who had to abandon a little quarter acre, a little 60-90 plot that would subsidize the market. Had to stop due to the monkeys. You know, people who would tell me they eat from the land today. Plenty of people all through the countryside that used to do a little quarter acre land, half acre, have had to put it aside due to the monkeys. And people think that it is a joke. Mm-hmm. But people who don't know any better, who live in different areas, don't know the hardship that the people in farming suffer from monkeys. I know people who used to make hundreds of dollars off of crystal fiends. The monkeys had to abandon them. And I can go on and on. So, Cody, unless we do something about this monkey population that is growing at an extravagant rate, we ain't going to get nowhere, because it is small peasant farmers who subsidize the market, who on Fridays or Saturdays can rate 10 or 12 pounds of carrots from their garden, to 10 pounds of beets, 10 garden pumpkins, and go down to the market to subsidize their income that being knocked out.
But sir, I want to jump in here and say that, you know, it totally annoys me when I see we discuss these issues over and over. For a human race that put people on the moon, so satellites in space, and can't figure out the monkey problem, I just get a little concerned. But I want to part that and say, look, let the people figure that out. But on the other hand, do you think that it is still possible that people can grow some stuff at home, in the pots and so on, in a more controlled environment? Yes, the monkeys do go into residential areas, but would you still encourage people to do their own personal farming, whether it be in the windowsill or wherever, where they have the less chance of monkeys? We forget the large-scale agriculture for now. Let's focus on the particular idea, the home garden that we brought up this morning. What are your thoughts on that?
You can still get that, but that is not on a real large amount. Mm-hmm. That will help a little bit.
But I just wanted to separate the two issues. But I do take your point. This whole idea of the monkeys, two-foot and other ways, have been going on for some time.
I got a question for the caller.
Yeah, let the caller finish first. Sorry, go ahead. Yes, sir.
I can call Neil, but I don't want to go. Who on morning that guys just things growing outside the back of their house? Who frightened to go outside? Tell me to see something. 10 and 12 monkeys and big, and they don't go not till they're gone, you know.
Now you understand that. I'm not taking it as a joke. I know it's something very, very, very serious, very, very, but very I just serious. Want to separate it because.
Well, let me finish you off and then you walk and think.
But one of the panelists here wanted to interact with you, so you hold your point. Let me hear from the panelists and then I'll let you finish up.
Yeah, good morning, sir. This is Lorenzo.
Good morning. Good morning to you, sir.
So I take your point in terms of the monkeys. Nobody could really rebut the seriousness of the impact to the monkeys on certain vegetation and on a large scale. But have you ever seen a monkey in a container, open a container and gone in and taken out like lettuce and stuff like that?
No, I never.
Are you aware that people actually plant nowadays, people actually plant lettuce and beets and stuff inside the containers via something called aquaponics as well?
I've never seen a monkey, but I'm talking about people who...
So what I'm saying is that perhaps part of what we can do as an intervention to complement whatever intervention you have in mind for the monkeys is that we can produce or gravitate towards more technological approaches, such as the aquaponics, which uses far less water than the one we put out in the field anyway. So I'm just throwing out to say that there are alternative approaches that we should use to complement the suggestions that you're making in terms of not eradicating, but culling.
But to my mind, you see, you might not be familiar with the system that I grew up with and know in the countryside. You know, it's all right to talk. This is all right for smaller, but I'm telling you that there are dozens and hundreds of people through rural Barbados who have half an acre plots that used to subsidize the market, that when you go to the market on Saturdays, you can see fat people with these front subsidizing the market that is out of business. It's right for the fella to have something. He's windowsill. I see that too.
No, not the windowsill. When I say little container, I'm talking about
I'm talking about these.
I got the greenhouses and the shade houses and different things.
Big 20-foot containers, that's what you're speaking about. The big ones, people are actually growing lettuce and stuff at a higher yield and higher proportion than in the field, using less water as well, via something called aquaponics. So that's what I was getting at as well.
I like that idea. I can't show the monkeys that we're smarter than them, man. So can't trick me all the time.
Thousands of dollars in lettuce.
Pardon me?
One time people used to through the district from the plant through the selling of lettuce. You still importing lettuce still. I tell you that can't substitute, that is help all right, but no. The massive loss that we have through the country where plots that used to be making a lot of...
We take the point, but it's just we got to look at both sides. We can do the small, but we got to fix the big one. So what was the final point you wanted to make?
Well, the final point is just quick on the this cost of living thing. Corey, for the last 40 years, 50 years, in that group higher, I see people complaining about cost of living. You talk about the former, when I first spoke about it and people made support, the only thing that controls price of living is demand and supply. And with the world, we're not in a trade war. People don't understand it can affect us. When demand is higher, bigger than the supply, you can get prices. some people operate at a higher rate than some. You can always get that. They got some supermarkets who have people parking the goods and carrying them to your car. Mm-hmm. They got some vans delivering can carry certain places. Some people don't give you back. So you can always get a difference in price. And the only thing can solve it, you can believe it or not, supply and demand. Mm-hmm. Have a nice day, sir.
On this caller, it's not only supply and demand, but it's knowledge of the market. So it is possible that you can have a glut of things on the market and the prices are still high. But if you have no knowledge of it, and that is why I think the digital age should really come in, where consumers can sit at their desk and see what the relative prices are of different things at different locations. So demand is one thing, supply is one thing, but if you don't have the knowledge of how they're operating, then it totally takes things out of proportion. Yeah.
All right, what a discussion. I'm gonna end with this one. We can take a break. But we could not have this discussion without this particular comment. It says, where Barbadians need to take a haircut is in the partying and fetting and in the big brands. Complaining about things hard and buying children $250 plus school bags. Mm. Stop spending the majority of your money also in the food vans and canteens daily. This is Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Big or small, at Brilliant Metals we have it all. At Brilliant Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Yeah, go ahead, Oliver. When you're depressed, he was replying to this CM1. Tell us. Come close to the microphone and speak directly into it. Mm-hmm.